Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The Rock made his return to WWE Raw and gave us a little hint that perhaps we're looking at The Rock versus Roman Reigns. Maybe at WrestleMania?
Oh, was that what he was cooking?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I couldn't smell it. I was still bunged up from the New Year.
Fight. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Hi, welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast review of the day one episode of Raw. I'm Pete Quinnell. I'm joined by Dan Layton.
Call me what I am.
Your jam, that champion.
Thank you.
Dan Layton. Luke is off this week, so I'm filling in for him. If it's your first time here on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel, please do press the subscribe button, like the video, why not? If you're joining us live, why not send an ultra chat at WrestleTalk.com/support, and we're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts because we do.
Yeah, we had a 1-2 punch the last time you were on a pod with me. We had Punk's return promo on Raw.
Yep.
Here we are.
And now we've got Rock return. I just need to do Raw reviews way more often, apparently.
There it is. There it is.
So yes, getting all your thoughts about this. What do you think is going to be happening with Rock and Roman? Do you think it's going to be happening at Mania? What happens to Cody and his story? Mm. So let's talk about the segment first, and then we'll talk about all our thoughts.
Yes.
Because I have two completely different strands of conversation based off, are we talking about the segment or are we talking about the future?
Yeah.
Because I have very different thoughts about those things. So they were hyping this up about the return of a former WWE champion. That was the thing that Triple H was tweeting. That was what all the reports were about. And they came up with the idea and they said, return of a former WWE champion coming tonight. We get to the segment. They hype it up. Please welcome a former WWE champion.
Before you say, did you have any like thoughts of who it might be? Had you read any reports? Were you...
I figured that it would have been someone nostalgic. It wouldn't have been like, you know, people talking about maybe it could be Andrade because he's just finished AEW or whatever, even though he's not WWE
NXT,
champion because
NXT
or whatever. I didn't think it'd be that. I thought it would be like Stone Cold,
right?
The Rock, somebody, right. Undertaker, you know, somebody just to be like, they're here kind of thing.
I had on my list, it was Big E would be lovely to see
that
him
would have
back.
Been great.
Brock would be interesting because we're getting to Mania season. Maybe he's going to come do a little thing. And The Rock would be spicy. That was my three categories.
Yeah.
So then when they do the little reveal.
Yeah. And then, here comes a former WWE champion, Jinder Mahal.
Excellently
it
played.
It was very funny. And I thought it's so good that they're leaning into the joke now.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
Thought it was really well executed.
Even down to like there was a big camera like shot of the whole crowd getting up with their phones and they left it on there for their reactions to be. Okay.
And you heard the crowd go, oh.
But what's really interesting is there was a time where we would have probably, that would have been the reveal. That would have been it. And it would have been disappointing.
Yes.
But I think now we were all sat there like, that's really funny.
That's funny.
And I know
what's
there's
the
going to be a
reveal?
Second reveal. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that joke is really funny.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal then cut a promo for a long time about how America is bad. And he said, you people have never been more divided because all your social media is the same. What, Jinder? And he said, USA's divided. You're all terrible. And then he spoke to some Punjabi and got them to boo. And he said, I just said your national anthem in Punjabi and you booed your own national anthem, which is a clever little joke. It was a long promo. I'll say that. And it was basically America bad was the sum total of the promo.
It was a very long America bad promo. It was very typical, very cliche. I actually found it I was annoyed at it. And I was annoyed at it because the crux of his argument was America doesn't like people who don't look like him and speak different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making this promo in San Diego, which is a bilingual city with a heavily like immigrant community and does a lot of work for refugees. And I'm just like, this is not the place to do this. I mean, arguably there's a reverse where it's like, actually that makes him more of a hypocritical heel, blah, blah, sure. blah. I just found it. I was like, are we not in 2024 now?
Uh-huh.
Whoa. That's the first time I've
heard you got
that.
It. Yeah.
We're in 2024. Are we not past foreign heel is bad because foreign? Like, are we not? He's Canadian anyway. Like, are we not through all of this?
And like, he like was right in his promo because he was like, "You're booing me because I look different and talk different." And it's like, I mean, they kind of are.
Yeah.
And then like, he was speaking Punjabi, and then they booed him, and it was like, "You booed me because I spoke Punjabi." It's like, yeah, kind of.
And I think so the reason like, it was so annoying is
getting here.
It went so long, and it didn't need to happen because
yes,
it was all waiting for what happened next.
It was waiting for the punchline, and that punchline was just kind of drawn out way too far. But then the punchline hit, which is. The Rock came back.
Hey!
And that's exactly what Michael Cole did.
He did the Natalia all yay, didn't he? It's a far cry.
Oh, it was not tiny. You just had to go, yeah!
It's a far cry from Parkour King! But at least he was feeling it. Good for you, Michael.
I wrote, shut the F up, Michael Cole. Because it was one of the things where I was like, ah, The Rock! And then I heard Michael Cole and went, oh, yay! Shut up! You're just clouding this moment of joy. But it was fine. Rock comes back. And I was like, okay, it's a long promo from Jinder, but that's fine. Rock's going to come out. It's going to rock bottom Jinder. And we all can move on with our lives. And that's a fun little return.
Mm.
The Rock did a really long promo. And I'm like, what's happening?
He did. It was really long. I mean, it was good.
Like, it was fine.
It was The Rock.
Yeah.
He did The Rock. And somehow, even though it was fine, it's The Rock. Who somehow makes them good. Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Okay, that's fair. I think, it was a good Rock promo. Mm. I think it was just a lot of the focus on it was on Jinder.
Mm.
I mean, why is this the focus of Jinder's not on our screens. Yeah. If this was like, if Jinder was a feature performer every week and he's just a well-known dick that no one gets along with and he just comes out and he's a prick and gets a load of heat and blah, 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 and that's fine.
In
and
time then gone by, this is The Miz.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And then The Rock comes out and puts him in his place. Got not an issue with it at all. But Jinder's not on our screens. They've just gone, Jinder. Mm. Even though he's barely around. And then The Rock's gone like, oh, we all know that angry face. He's like, do we? We haven't seen you. And then it was running down Jinder and like all of Jinder's well-known characteristics. I'm like, why is the focus on Jinder? The Rock's here. What are we doing here? It was very strange. But The Rock sang a little song about Jinder's balls. Yeah, and then he said that he's going to whip his candy ass. Classic. Jinder then struck first and went and beat him up in the corner. But Rock came back, hit the spine buster, hit the people's elbow. And I was like, if that was the end of the segment, because this segment was 21 and a half minutes long.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Which is absurd.
It's obscene.
It is stupidly long. Did not need to be that long. If the segment ended there, I'd have gone, what a colossal waste of time.
Yeah.
Because that would have just been nostalgia pop for the sake of a nostalgia pop. You didn't achieve anything.
We had one of those a few months ago on SmackDown, so it would have been a very...
Yeah, it would have been rinse and repeat.
Diminishing returns.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. But...
Rinse and repeat was the original name for your channel. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Love that. But then, at the end of the promo, we got one little thing where Rock was saying... The Rock's going to go out and get some food after this San Diego.
And instantly I was like, great choice, because that place is lit food-wise. Yeah. Oh, I had the best margarita of my life in San Diego.
Oh, nice. Pizza or the drink?
Drink.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, it's right by Mexico, so all the limes are so fresh. The avocados are delicious. It's so delicious.
Beautiful. Love that. So Rock was saying he's going to go out and get something to eat. Should he sit in a booth? And the crowd went...
Did you not? No, instantly, I was like, I see where we're going.
Absolutely, 100%. As soon as he said that, I was like, okay, I see where we're going here. And he's like, should I sit at the bar? Couple cheers here. Or should I sit at the head of the table?
Whoa!
Crazy! So that was the end of that segment. Rock leaves. Michael Cole, I think, came again. And then. And then. That's the tease. Yeah. We've got Roman potentially versus Rock. That seems to be what they're teasing right now. Now, let's talk about the future, because I didn't like the segment. I like the curiosity of what it built, and Rock versus Roman segment sucked and could have been done a lot better. But, positivity, Rock versus Roman. Are you excited for a Rock versus Roman match?
Well, yeah, to your point, we'll leave the segment behind because as I mean, we're in complete one step on that. Like, it took too long and and really it could have just been Jinder opens his mouth, Rock comes out, Rock bottom, and then it all hinges on the 4 seconds, essentially,
that it took to say the phrase
head of the table. And look, Pete, it's just that against my better judgment, against what I think is the deserved moment, against what I think is the smart choice for the future of the company, for narrative engagement, for what makes logical storyline sense, against what I feel in my gut and my soul is the right thing to do, it did give me stirrings in my groin when he said it. I was like, I wiggled a bit in my seat. I was very excited. And I think kind of that's what's... I have so many thoughts and so many feelings about it. I want to see the match.
Mm-hmm.
For the world championship, while that's around the waist, I don't want to see that match at WrestleMania for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a complicated thing of their own making, because by keeping the belt on Roman Reigns for the past year, all of these stories have a sense of, well, it's inevitable, really, that Roman's going to retain, because as long as the belt's in play, it's not just about the head of the table. It's not just about family, tribal chief supremacy. It's also about your world title.
Yep.
So that's why I never thought Jay was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anybody watching thinks The Rock is going to win the title and go on a run as champion for any longer. And it's always been about, well, the long reign is one thing, but how do you follow it up?
Mm-hmm.
Like Gunther, when he loses the Intercontinental title, has done incredible work. Whoever wins it next, it has to be someone, it has to be important, it has to be a good reign. So if you're going to end Roman's reign, pun intended, and follow it up with a month-long Rock reign, and then he drops it to Cody, what was the point? Or drops it to anybody, drops it to Gunther, drops it to, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
LA Knight. You know, there's I don't think anyone thinks... I mean, The Rock was out of puff from a quick people's elbow, to be honest. Yeah. So, like, is he really going to be able to sustain a main event WrestleMania match? That's one part of it. Well, we've got so much to unpack with this. What do you think?
I'm pretty much the same as you. I'm excited for a Rock versus Roman match because I think the potential of the story is really exciting. Because I think the Bloodline saga, when it's at its best, is the infighting within the Bloodline. It is about the Samoan dynasty. And whether that is Roman having to win to cement himself as the head of the table and his manipulation of Jay and Jimmy or whatever it is, that saga, or Sami Zayn for that matter, that saga of the Bloodline and what it means to be the head of the table is the most exciting part about the Bloodline. And the potential to have The Rock there to then tell more of that story to say, well, you can't be the head of the table when I'm here. I'm always more important than you, Roman. I'm the head of the table. You want to make money for the family? I've made more money than you ever have. You know, like,
he's the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Exactly.
There's facts to back this
exactly.
up.
Exactly. So he can have, like, I'm the actual head of the table. This is a sham. You are not the head of the table until you beat me. That is really good storyline potential. That is something that I've wanted and people have wanted for a long time, is Rock and Roman to have the match. I don't want that match at WrestleMania.
I think WrestleMania 39 would have been great.
Agreed.
Because
100%.
It felt right that Cody would win that match. I think that's why we're all so shook by it, because they had told us a story and then changed that. Game of Thrones style. They changed their minds in the last minute.
Yep.
I think had it been The Rock, had The Rock made a return at the Rumble and won it and challenged Roman, I think we all would have been like, yeah. And it wouldn't have mattered that none of us thought he was going to win the belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, a year hence, the belt is this albatross hanging over the story.
Yep.
Because I completely agree with you. The narrative of, until you beat me, you're not it. And then Roman doing it, or not doing it, as the case may be, is so compelling. And that's a reason that I tune in to watch the match. At WrestleMania main event, the cap off your weekend, a match where... I know that 99% of the audience last year thought Cody was going to win. So to say that Roman's going to retain, there's an argument that anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation, like, whatever. I don't think there's any real likelihood of The Rock winning. And if that's the case, you're asking us to tune into your main event match with no stakes.
Pretty much, yeah. And I think that they have the potential to Have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Do the Rock Roman match at Elimination Chamber. Mm. I know some people will say, but it's a B show. You need to have the big match at
this
WrestleMania.
This is the next conversation.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Not the WrestleMania should not be the be-all end-all. You cannot only have important matches at WrestleMania. You should have important matches through the rest of the year.
Completely agree. And interestingly, I think there was a time where WrestleMania was the be-all and end-all. Mm-hmm. And not for nothing, it was because everything else was crap.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about 2013, 14, 15, SummerSlam didn't really matter mm-hmm. that much. The main events were special. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about, you know, Cena, Brock, or Punk Cena or anything like that.
Cena,
like,
Bryan.
Cena, Bryan. Cena, Punk Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many things where the matches were great, but the show didn't feel as, like, top dollar.
Exactly.
And then we've got an Unforgiven or a No Mercy or whatever, and every now and again you get a main event match. Now, with Bash at Berlin happening in a big place mm-hmm. in Berlin, in Backlash Paris, mm-hmm. we have SummerSlam taking place in stadiums every year. Mm-hmm. We had Clash at the Castle here. We had...
Now Backlash in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
Just gone.
Elimination Chamber is taking place in front of... In a stadium that has the capacity of at least 60,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know what... I think the last ticket sales were like 38,000 or something like that.
Not sure.
I would imagine if you announced The Rock versus Roman Reigns, those will go through the roof.
I reckon so.
But, like, you have the capacity of another 60,000 stadium. Mm-hmm. That's a show. Treating it like an A show rather than it just being like a crown jewel or a super showdown mm-hmm. like they have done in the past. Mm-hmm. Making it feel like part of the narrative storyline is kind of a Triple H era... hallmark kind of thing. So you need to stop. We need to stop thinking about Mania as the only place where these things can go. It should still be the mm-hmm. crown jewel. I wish they hadn't called it to show that because it's a great phrase. It should be the cherry on the cake. It should be the place, the granddaddy of them all, the mm-hmm. most revered place. You should want a main event WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, you know how they've been talking about this? Like, there are like three main events per show, the co-main event, mm-hmm. whatever. For the first year, I actually feel like, I mean, yeah.
There kind of is.
There's about 12 different main event mm-hmm. possibilities. Like, sure, that's four or five different people. I'm thinking Cody Roman. I'm thinking Cody Sami Zayn. I'm thinking Cody Punk. I'm thinking Punk Rollins. I'm thinking Rollins Roman. I'm thinking, you know, there's so many different combinations. But even looking at the full card this year, it's a stacked potential card. Why not do it at Elimination Chamber? Mm-hmm. And then, as you say, have your cake and eat it too. I do have a counter to that, mm-hmm. which is my pitch for a different Elimination Chamber option. If you want to have Roman Rock at Mania, I think you take the belt off Roman and your stakes go right in there. Yeah. This is not me saying it will happen or is even likely to happen. I know there are some people who will be like, you're so naive for thinking it, but I don't know. The idea of, say, here's my fantasy booking pitch. Mm-hmm. An Elimination Chamber match in Perth where Roman faces every single person that he and the Bloodline have screwed over. But they can't do it in the Elimination Chamber because it's a big cage. I know there have been interferences, but it's wrestling. You can say whatever you want. You got Roman against Cody, Drew, Sammy, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. They're all in there in the chamber together. It's all on Roman. And he still sort of makes it through to the end. And then Cody's the one. They start together and the end together. And Cody takes the belt. And then you've got Cody for the championship at Mania against whoever you want. Cody versus Sammy if you want to do that. Cody versus Punk if you want to do that. Like... Mm-hmm. And then you can still have your Rock Roman at Mania moment mm-hmm. with stakes all of a sudden mm-hmm. where it matters because The Rock would quite rightly be able to say, you just lost the belt. Mm-hmm. You can't be head of the table.
Yeah.
And then it's Roman's way of getting it back kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think there's so many avenues you can go down. Picturing it as simply Roman versus Rock for the title at WrestleMania kind of is the weakest option for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Because not only... does it feel like that then makes that match inevitable that Roman will retain? And I do not want... if we come out of WrestleMania season and Roman is still the champion, I'm going to be kind of annoyed because this is too long now. This needs to end at some point.
Kind of annoyed?
Yeah.
We can't afford another television. You burnt a hole through the last one with your death stare.
It was the anger. but I think... look, I said last year was the time and I stand by it. I do think it was the time. If WrestleMania 39 was not the time, WrestleMania 40 season has to be the time. And if it's a round number, those are always the big ones.
And it's also, you know, there was Benoit, Bryan. Mm-hmm. It was the underdog who wasn't expected to take it, getting the big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was 10? Did Bret Hart win at 10?
Yeah.
On the shoulders? Am I getting that picture wrong?
Yeah, because 10 was the Bret Owen opener, where Owen won, and then Bret in the main event. Yeah, but he beat Yoko in the main event.
And he was on people's shoulders.
I think so, yeah.
So like that's the kind of the tradition.
That's the template you've got.
So you do it. Book it, cowards.
Yeah.
But also, the other thing, and this is taking a slight turn, is that I know when we say, and it's not just we, it's everyone in the wrestling community who says this, and then because we can't help but fight each other, there's a pushback that, you know, Roman should have lost it at WrestleMania 39.
Absolutely.
Something really interesting to me at the tail end of the year was that the person who was widely regarded by all fan votes that WWE ran, and granted it's WWE's fan base and social media, who's your star? Who's your main event of the year? Who's your favorite for the rest of the year? It was Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody. Cody and Roman was match of the year according to their voting.
Yeah.
When The Rock said those words, I would say the vast majority of, I was watching it live and on the X machine, even though I'm trying to detox myself from letting that pepper my takes, but it is interesting that most people's first thought was Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says to us that he's still the guy.
Yes,
I think
agree.
That says that he's still someone who is top of our list, the person that we want to see, the person that has the potential to do it and pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really frustrated, and we'll get to it when we do the show proper, with his short shrift in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would be stupid to not acknowledge that in their plans. And I don't think WWE has been stupid over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
At times it's been silly,
mm-hmm.
but I think they've been smart. I think they've made a change. And also, the again, it's another side of the conversation. There's so much to think about in this. The other argument is they believe that they did the right thing by keeping the belt on Roman. And it's kind of hard to argue against their numbers. It's kind of hard to argue against the engagement. It's kind of hard to argue against the incredible 2023 that they had. I will still argue it. And if I'm in that creative room, I'm banging my head against the table until they let me have my Cody win.
Mm-hmm.
But they could argue that it actually doesn't matter any of the stuff that we've talked about. At the end of the day, they're going to be able to put on WrestleMania 40, Rock Roman main event, and point to a chart with a massive view count and say this was a success and you can't fight us.
Yeah.
And it would be hard to make a case against it.
It would. I think my argument stems from, but what about the story? And not just Cody's story, but
the wider story.
Storytelling.
Yeah.
The wrestling story. And that's where my passion comes from, because realistically, I don't care about WWE's business. I don't care what gets them views. I don't care about what viewership they got. I don't care about ratings. I just want to watch a good wrestling show.
Yeah.
You know? And for me, the thing that makes the best wrestling show is the stuff that makes me the most interested in the stories of what's happening right now. It's why I loved the C2 in AEW.
Oh, because
I loved the stories that were coming from it. It's fantastic.
And
so simple and so perfect and brilliant. I loved it. But that's why I want to see Cody win, because that's the story they've been telling. If they suddenly tell a different story, then I feel like I've invested in a thing that they're not doing anymore, which is why so many fans over the years in WWE felt betrayed by the company, because they would do things and then WWE, Vince McMahon, would go, never mind. And they'd never pay off on stuff they set up.
And I think to speak to that point exactly, which is so true, that's why we were so, I think we took it personally at WrestleMania 39.
Yeah.
Because for once, the night before, they'd given it to us.
Exactly.
They gave us what we wanted.
They were telling the perfect story.
They did it so well.
They did all the foundation work for the past year with the whole Sammy stuff and Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber. They'd set all the foundation, Cody winning the Rumble. Everything was there to have the bloodline collapse. And this is what it's all building to, except it isn't.
And we got the Sammy and KO moment.
We
got it. And it was incredible. And we all felt it. Like Luke and I standing owed it. It was so... This cathartic release. And as a story fan, as someone who watches the movies, someone who watches TV, reads books, whatever you do, you're there for that cathartic release. That's what it's for. So to undercut it for numbers is sort of an anathema to me, but that's why I don't run a $1 billion business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's why I think you do Rock Roman, because it is by all metrics, an attraction match. Mm. Not just for WWE's business, which is the stuff that I care less about, but as a story. Mm-hmm. It is so compelling to have that matchup. I just don't want it at WrestleMania, because I think there might be some people that suggest, how about this as an argument for you, Dan? There might be some people that suggest night one, night two. You have Rock Roman night one, you have Roman Cody night two. Mm. To get them both at Mania. Attraction. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the thing they should do, because I think that undercuts the stakes for night two. I think it muddies the water of the story. I think you separate them out and you do Rock Roman at Chamber and you do Cody Roman at WrestleMania. For me, that is actually a really, really, really good WrestleMania season. Mm. To have a big rumble where maybe Cody wins. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he gets his title shot at Chamber. Who knows? Whatever it is, a great rumble match. Maybe Punk wins and he challenges Rollins at WrestleMania. And you have Cody gets eliminated by Punk at the end. Oh, and he comes so close to finishing that story.
Oh,
and then and Punk eliminates Cody at the end. But then so Cody is like, I need to finish the story. I need to get to WrestleMania. So there's a really high stakes chamber match with Jay and Seth and a bunch of people, and Cody's in it, and he wins, and it's gonna be great. And that's how he gets his WrestleMania shot. That for me is the ideal way, because that is a damn near perfect WrestleMania season. High stakes in Rumble, high stakes in Chamber, even higher stakes at WrestleMania. Perfect escalation. Mm. I don't see another avenue that would satisfy me quite the same way as that. I think having Rock come back to do this match is great. Please not at WrestleMania. That's my underlying thought.
Very quick question before I sort of give my thought on that one. Mm. If the belt is not there, would you do it at Mania? Doesn't have to be the main event in that case. Could be one of the main events. And I mean, I'm looking at four main events over the course of the 2 days.
Like, yeah, God. I think...
So is it the belt that changes it? I think that's what it is for me.
The belt... See, my issue is, I think I agree with you. I'd be more interested in a Rock Roman match if the belt wasn't on the line. Mm. I'm not sold on how to get the belt off Roman before then.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm sold on your chamber idea. I think it sounds really fun.
Yeah.
But I think for me personally, the story that I want the most is big singles match.
Yeah.
It's that moment of one person being like, I'm going to step up to you, Roman, and then they pin him and they do it.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the moment. And maybe you can still do that in the chamber. Maybe you have, this is the combination of the Bloodline story. Everyone gets eliminated and Cody and Roman go an extra 15 minutes of just them two at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the story in chamber. Maybe you still get that. Maybe it's totally satisfying. I'm not 100% sold on that idea, but if it did happen, I don't think I'd be mad at it necessarily. Mm. I don't know what you're saying. Yeah.
The only counter I have to everything that you said, which I completely agree with and I enjoyed very much, it's the same thing that drives me and pulls me in as a fan, is we do have a tendency as a collective, as a fandom, to fantasy book ourselves into the only way.
Mm.
And something that I have appreciated about the Bloodline story is the unexpected nature of it. Kind of the same thing that happened over in AEW with Adam Cole and MJF, especially at the beginning, is it was unexpected. We all thought this is how it's going to end. And it was unexpectedly really popular.
Yeah.
So that I was like, all right, carry on. Do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I carried on enjoying it for a bit more. The way it may have ended or not was a conversation for a couple of days ago. But with the Bloodline in this company, I've been surprised. So I don't, and pleasantly surprised at various times. So I don't want to book myself into the feeling that we had at the end of WrestleMania, which is that my way was the highway, you didn't take the highway, and I'm now sad. Because I do think, for a change, and oh my god, it's nice to feel this way after 20 years of dearth, there are several different avenues that they can take the story to WrestleMania. There are several different, if you will, roads to WrestleMania.
Oof.
It depends on which one they want to take, because we've not even touched on the idea of there's more than one royal family.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm also aware that we've gone half an hour already, but this is the show. Like,
yeah. And also there's the idea of, like, you know, CM Punk, he hates The Rock.
Yeah.
What if it's Rock Roman at Elimination Chamber and Punk costs Rock the match?
And then we get Punk Rock at WrestleMania.
Rock at WrestleMania sounds amazing. Like, there's so many different avenues.
And we all know Triple H likes to bring Punk Rock back to wrestling. So,
Very good, Dan. That's the joke of the day. Joke of the day.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get into what you guys think, shall we? WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your ultra chats. There's a lot of them.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah, we're going to get through all of them at the $5 US dollar amount or more by the time the show goes off the air. Let's get into it. Scott Young, going to say Scotty Young, but it's Scott Young, 2907, said, I'd argue that Rock versus Roman 1000% needs a title to make sense, because at the start of his reign, all he spoke about was how the belt meant he was able to feed his family. Remember Jay's Which One Are You promo. The belt makes him head of the table. That's fair.
That's accurate, mm-hmm. But also I think the head of the table and the belt have moved beyond. And actually, you could make the argument, again, if you do take it off him at Elimination Chamber, that's where Rock can step in and say, I'm still the head of the table. I'm still the head of the table. And Rock goes, you were only the head of the table because you were the champion. And mm-hmm. You aren't that anymore. You had one job and you failed. Like, you know, there's wrinkles that you can do with it. I just don't think it needs the belt. I think 1,000% is far too high. Yeah.
Andy Madrid said, the anti-Elimination Chamber side of Twitter really ignores the world part of WWE. I understand wanting a Mania-level match at Mania, but getting the high-caliber match of Rock versus Roman should be celebrated, not debated. Road to Mania is going to be madness. Happy New Year's, guys. I love doing two Ultra Chats for a holiday. Oh boy, do I completely forget about not wanting The Rock back, possibly derailing a full-timer when he actually shows up. In my fantasy booking, Rock versus Solo at Mania.
Interesting. I mean, I know what you mean about forgetting. You don't want a part-timer showing up, but then The Rock shows up and
you go, ah!
That's kind of what we're talking about with the magic of The Rock. When you say the world part of WWE, this is what I'm talking about. Other conversation that I was having last night on Twitter, before The Rock came out, before he had 20 minutes with Jinder, before he said the four words, I had said that my main event of Elimination Chamber was Becky versus Rhea,
mm-hmm.
because there were some people immediately that were like, save that for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's coming back to the idea of like, are you telling me that a 60,000 seat stadium in Rhea's home country
mm-hmm.
doesn't warrant a marquee match against arguably the biggest women's star of this generation
mm-hmm.
in Becky Lynch?
Yep.
We need to stop thinking about it in that way and start thinking about it in the way they're thinking about mm-hmm. it, you know?
I also think that it's partly because WWE has conditioned us to think that WrestleMania is the only important show.
Yeah.
For such a long time, so that now people do think that way. But the only way you break that thought is by putting on marquee matches at not WrestleMania.
And I think it's important to say that I don't think either of us are suggesting that WrestleMania stops being the most important show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think there's a way to do both.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. Like, if you think about Eddie Guerrero winning the title and No Way Out.
And No Way Out.
Brilliant. It was such a perfect moment.
And then
moment.
The match you had with Kurt Angle was 1 month build.
Right. And it was still perfect.
Yeah.
No one was like, oh, why did they do that there and not Mania? Because it worked. Mm. It was the right time. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Matt said, Sean brought up a good point about The Rock, Cody, and Roman situation. Finishing the story for Cody is winning the WWE Championship. That doesn't need to happen at WrestleMania necessarily. It's like how Punk's story is main eventing WrestleMania. Not necessarily? What?
Not necessarily winning the main
event. Oh, not necessarily winning the main events of WrestleMania. You can have Cody win the Money in the Bank briefcase off Priest and cash in before WrestleMania to beat Roman. Roman versus Rock doesn't need the title and could be for the head of the table and for tribal chief status. I don't like the Money in the Bank bit.
No.
That feels very cheap.
But I know, but what you're saying, I understand, which is that it ultimately, it's not about WrestleMania. But again, this comes back to, we think Cody winning belt has to happen at WrestleMania, so that you have that satisfying WrestleMania moment. I'd like to see it, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have to.
No.
Could have happened at SummerSlam.
Yep.
If you book it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. James Dobinson said, Damian Priest's cash-in attempt was a bit odd, so he wanted to cash in during a triple threat match, but then walked away as Rollins is lying exhausted and battered, having retained and McIntyre's out of the picture. I mean, Rollins was up on his feet, so I'd say it was whatever.
Also, he'd just taken a Claymore.
Yes.
And there was an angry Scotsman in the ring. We'll talk about that.
Make it make sense, please.
I will. Don't worry.
We'll try. I think Rock versus Roman has the potential to be huge, but does this mean Cody's story is over? If Rock versus Roman takes place at Rumble or Chamber, then Cody versus Roman may seem a lesser main event at Mania. Do you think Cody is still going to get his moment? Yes. I don't think that makes Cody's job worse. I think it makes it better.
Yeah.
If you have Roman beat Rock at Elimination Chamber, with that, this is all hinged on them actually telling that story of you can't be the head of the table while I'm still here kind of thing. Rock versus Roman, and it's not just I want to take your belt, because then I think it might be a bit bad. But if they tell that story of Rock and Roman's relationship together and being the head of the table and all that stuff at Chamber, Roman wins at Chamber, is then solidified in the eyes of The Rock and everybody around that he is the definitive head of the table and nobody can tell him otherwise, and then Cody beats him, that solidifies Roman as the peak of this head of the table run right before he drops it.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is very compelling.
While you were saying that, I just wanted to check one thing, and that is that Roman Reigns has defended the Universal Championship, the Undisputed Championship, twice since WrestleMania. He's not including super shows, not including house shows.
Yep.
He defended it against Jay.
At SummerSlam.
And then LA Knight.
At Crown Jewel.
So arguably, that is what makes this less of a scalp for Cody. This is like feeding a fire.
Yep.
Rock at the Rumble or Rock at Chamber is a bit of kindling on the fire.
I don't think it will be Rumble, because they announced on SmackDown there's going to be a triple threat to see who faces Roman at Rumble.
Oh, because they're probably going to be Orton.
It's AJ, Orton, and LA Knight, I think.
So you make... this is the period of time where you make it look like the most imperative thing for a person to win. They all want to do it. We're all going to challenger, feed the fire, so that it's all guns blazing for Cody's moment. And again, I go back to, all anyone's talking about is Cody's moment. That tells me we want to see it. That tells me he's the guy.
100%, yeah. Robbie the Great, 614, said, hey fellas, happy new year. I personally do not want to see Roman versus Rock, especially if the title's involved. Roman would need to lose the belt for me to be somewhat interested in it, but you wouldn't want Roman to lose before facing Rock. No point in it.
I see what you mean.
I get what you mean.
Wins and losses mattering is an interesting thing, because as much as if Luke was here, I wouldn't dare this, but Road Dogg kind of had a point. Sometimes you need people to lose to tell a story.
You can't say those things.
I'm sorry, Luke, if you're watching. You should also not be watching. You should be on holiday. You do sometimes need people to lose to tell a story.
Absolutely.
And if Roman loses,
that means the wins and losses matter. Road Dogg, there you go. Numpty.
That part.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that loses equal bad is incorrect. Wins and losses do matter, because the loss is necessary to tell a story.
Agreed.
And in this case, it would be to tell the story that Roman and The Rock have over who is ahead of the table.
Agreed. Charles Burke said, I'd like to imagine that after The Rock announced his intention to face Roman, Cody was in the back, single tear in his eye, as he suddenly ripped up papers with my story on the front. And we pan to a stick figure drawing he made with the title at Mania.
He hates the phrase my story, so I don't think that's on his...
Yeah, probably not.
He just fully resents it. He's like, I wish I never said it, because it's become a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Like, yeah.
Roman Dietrich said, could we maybe really see Roman main event night one and two of WrestleMania after the rumors of Punk again being against Creative Ways for his WrestleMania match a real possibility?
I I like the template story of night one, night two main events mm-hmm. as a gauntlet. Especially if, like, those belts were still separate.
Mm. I was going to say, if they have double belts, 100% agree.
Yeah. I don't think it would be good in this scenario.
No.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
There are ways to make that work, but not... Like, last year's one was perfect.
Yeah.
Because it was two different strands of bloodline. It mm-hmm. wasn't the same people, but it told a similar story mm-hmm. across it. And that's a good way to do it. Kuzu said, there is no reason Rock and Roman cannot happen at Elimination Chamber whatsoever. Yes, it's a generational dream match, but I need to remind people, Rock faced Hogan at No Way Out 2003 and not WrestleMania. No need to snub Cody at all. I mean...
Goldberg. You mean Goldberg.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rock did face Hogan at WrestleMania.
He faced Goldberg.
Yes.
So I for a second, I was very confused. That is what happened. Yeah, you're right.
Dan said, I'm excited for Rock versus Roman at Mania. Cody's story bores me and I'm not interested at all. Even as an Australian who will be at the Chamber, this match deserves to be at Mania. Interesting.
We've got a lot of work to do to unpack this Mania mindset.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If he says Cody's story doesn't interest him,
that's a personal choice,
and
that's fine.
And Rock Roman interests him more, I can see why you'd want that at Mania and Cody not. I get that.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's like, I mean, but this is the, again, it's the idea of everything has to be for everybody. Like, there are, when I watch a TV show, there are certain story strands where I'm like, and he fast forward through that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'll be honest, I found Kendall the least interesting in Succession. Kill me.
Again, that sounds like another hot take. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Terrence Collins said, I've said since I quit Hell in a Cell match, Jay should dethrone Reigns. With that said, Rock shouldn't face Reigns at Elimination Chamber. It should be Reigns versus Rock WrestleMania Night 1, Reigns versus Rhodes Night 2. Reigns should win both.
Dusty finish.
Jay beats Reigns at SummerSlam. Cody beats Jay at WrestleMania. Thoughts? $5 more just to say Cody should win the title. Not yet. Roman should have won WrestleMania 39 only because that match should have been Jay. My list in order, Jay, Cody, Gunther, Solo, Bron, Breaker, and all of this is based on their story, bloodline above all, then Cody off Jay. That's a lot.
So here's my argument, because this comes up a lot, mm-hmm. the idea that Jay has to be the one to dethrone Roman, and that last year there was the argument that Cody had no involvement in the bloodline, really. He just was the one who won the Royal Rumble, and that's mm-hmm. how he, which was accurate and true. And that kind of has fed the idea that Cody doesn't need to be the one to finish the story against Roman. He can finish against anybody. It's just that he had Roman beat
mm-hmm.
and he got screwed out of it.
Yeah.
Which inherently makes that a part of his story.
Mm-hmm.
Overcoming Roman is now how he gets the belt. It doesn't have to be. Nothing has to be. It's a fictional television program. You can write whatever you want. You can book whatever you want. But to suggest that Cody is not in any way related and it has to be Jay, I think is a misunderstanding of Cody's story, personally.
I'd also say that it's not necessarily about Jay dethroning Roman. It was Jay leaving Roman's control.
Yeah.
And he got that moment at Money in the Bank where he pinned Roman.
Yeah.
That was Jay's moment.
Yeah. And again, the belt didn't need to be there because it was all about who are you being, why are you being this person, and the belt makes Roman think he has to be tribal chief, la la la. It was all about tribal chiefdom. The belt didn't need to be involved at SummerSlam, and Jay could have won it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have had your dethrone thing. The title belt as a prop, as a MacGuffin, is a difficult... It causes a lot of problems to a lot of these different stories, but also I guess it's caused a lot of intrigue and a lot of opinions, and again, it creates all of those roads.
Mm-hmm.
So...
This is an interesting one from Ket that says, my first exposure of The Rock was when he beat Punk at the Rumble. I wasn't a fan of some random guy beating one of my favorites like that. If Roman and Rock is happening at Mania over Roman and Cody, this will just make me sour on The Rock more.
That's hilarious.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
And valid.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's a part-timer coming in and taking a spot and yada yada. And I kind of agree, but I think this one's a bit different in that this isn't Rock Punk to get to Rock Cena again. There is a lot of history with Rock and Roman that you can pull on, which is very different than just general part-timer coming in to take a spot.
Mm.
Ten Ruzza said, lads, it's been a while. Hot take. The Rock was terrible in that segment. Worst talking segment I've heard from him. As an Aussie, even I know Rock Reigns is a Mania title main event match and not an EC match. Excited for New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom and Mercedes to AEW. Yay. I disagree. Make Elimination Chamber important. important.
Completely, completely, completely.
Yeah. Charles Cassis has been a member. Sorry, go ahead.
There's another half.
Oh, is there another half?
Yes. I've got it here. Also, as an Aussie, Perth is such an out-of-the-way city here in Australia. If this was Sydney or Melbourne, maybe, yeah. But Perth is such a nothing city here. Cody can win big at SummerSlam. He never said Mania was part of the story. Punk Austin also, please. Now, that may be physically geographically true, but for us in the show, all that matters is a stadium.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be a stadium on the top of Ayers Rock, as long as it's full.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's not called Ayers Rock, is it? It's called... they took the name away. I want to know what it was now.
I don't know.
You read the next one. I'll satisfy my curiosity.
Charles Cassis has been a member for 28 months in a row. Thank you, Dan.
Hello.
That's
the indigenous name.
There okay. Who says, I like The Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania 39. Cody can't leave 40 without the title. Love you all. God bless and happy new year. Get dry soon, Ollie. Very good. Tyrola Marcus said, happy new year. We'd really like to see Rock versus Roman at Elimination Chamber. Will you make a watch party for the Rumble? When will tickets go on sale? That is the plan. I don't know when tickets are going on sale.
There's a lot of moving parts and things like that. So
yes.
We'll announce it when we announce it.
Yes. But the plan is ideally, yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Justin Edelheit has been a member for 12 months in a row, who said, if I was booking, I would do Roman versus Rock at Elimination Chamber and then Cody versus Roman 2 at WrestleMania. Thoughts on adding Punk so it's a three-way? No. Personally, again, I want that bit. It's a singles match for me. For me, that's the best one. Big singles match, Roman versus competitor. In my story, it's Cody. Cody gets the big win by himself.
Also, like, I think part of the reason all of this comes from and people whip out these names, it speaks to how exciting it is to have this wealth of opportunity, like
absolutely.
An embarrassment of riches. But, like, don't shoot your load too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many, like, why can't we do Punk and hey, just putting it out there. Punk wins one of the belts, Cody wins the other. They have to have a unification match at SummerSlam. Like, because there are too many title belts and actually we don't want to do this and one of them hasn't worked and they realize, or maybe Punk doesn't win the belt off Rollins and instead Punk goes after Cody, like, later. We have, what's it in Mamma Mia? When she's, like, running around, she's got all the things and the Meryl Streep just goes, we have time. And it's like, these things exist in my head. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Not in mine.
I'll fix that.
Matt SB said, what about Roman Cody Night 1, Roman Rock Night 2? If it was going to do both at Mania, I think that's the wrong way round, but that's just me.
Yeah,
maybe it's not.
And then there's an argument. There's an argument
to do it that way.
There's an argument that it isn't.
Yeah,
but I think that would then lend an argument to the idea that Night 1 isn't a main event.
Yes, agreed. Walker 4LIB, I'm sorry, said Roman versus Rock at Chamber for the head of the table. Rock wins and Roman loses his support. Cody's about to win at WrestleMania, only for Priest to cash in and win, mirroring Dusty-ish. Ending in heartbreak again. Cody is too good a chaser. Keep the belt off him. I disagree. Cody's a good chaser until it's diminishing returns. Then he's not a good chaser anymore.
That part.
Yeah. We should probably, I don't know how many more we've got here. We'll do one more. Manny D said, I think what might happen is The Rock costs Roman the title at Rumble. Randy wins it. You do Cody versus Randy so the story can end where it started and you can do Rock versus Roman without the title. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. It's like a mid option for me out of all the rest of them. I don't think I want to see Randy as world champ, especially not to just fuel the Cody thing because Cody is inherently linked to Roman now.
Again, you can take your time with that. I think there was something in, you know, AEW when Punk was there and they had all these dream matches and then because of various reasons and
they
I'm not blaming the company for them, they didn't get to do them, but there are so many options that I think there's an end of, right now, go right now, we have time. Cody Randy is a great story for later.
Yes, agreed. We've gone for so long. Let's whiz through the rest of this show.
Honestly, not loads happened.
Not loads happened, but...
Good matches.
Let's run down the rest of the show. Send in the rest of your alt chats. If you've got any more thoughts, at wrestletalk.com/support. Going to go through all the ones that are $5 US.
We all knew this was going to be an hour and a half show.
No, we didn't. By the time the show goes off the air, we'll go through them all. We start this day one episode of Raw with Michael Cole and Wade Barrett in the ring running down the card, which I liked. More of that. I think it was good. Live crowd got to react to it. Nice.
Kevin Dunn's not there anymore. It gave it like a sports ball sort of feel. And energy when you kick off the show is so important, which is why the new theme is so dire, because there's no beat for the first part of it, so I feel like I'm still half asleep or my sound's not working. Mm-hmm. Think about the best themes in Raw history, like Across the Nation, or like even the Nickelback one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out tonight. Or the what was the one that when they listen up, it's not a moment to spare. It's like, drive me, get me energy, go. Where do you think I can go? Hey, that you want to be able to, like, all of that stuff. Give me that. So this was a great way of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked them being in Live in the Ring. More of that.
Yeah. We then started, after a bunch, they advertised a bunch of title matches for the night. We started off with a non-title match. Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax.
On the bat.
And they had a little video package about 5 years in the making of, you know, Nia breaking Becky's face in 2018. I thought I knew how this match was going to go.
Yep.
I was like, you know, whatever. It's going to be fine. Maybe a bit slow, sloppy, whatever. Doesn't matter. Becky's going to win. Move on. This match ruled.
Yeah, it was
this
great.
Match was so good. I don't know what Nia's been cooking since she's come back. I think she's improved a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And this match was a perfect showcase of that.
Do you remember early Nia, like Nia versus Bayley,
mm.
like in NXT? Was it Takeover London?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. You know, she always had an element of potential. Then for whatever reason, it all sort of disappeared on the main roster. Maybe something about the new regime has mm-hmm. brought it back for her.
Maybe.
But
it could
just be
time.
Agree.
Maybe she just had time to improve.
And then you leave... reflect, come back,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, there's a it, she's done well,
and this match was so good. They told a really good David and Goliath story here,
mm.
with Nia shutting down all of Becky's offense through the whole match, and Becky just getting in those little hope spots, and occasionally she's trying like a Bexploder, but Nia's too big, oh no, and you know, stuff like that. It's proper like cheesy when you think about it, but they made it feel real in this match. It was so good.
There was a moment where they sort of brawled to the outside, the refs being in the count. I think Nia had gone for the cannonball and Becky mm-hmm. moved.
Yes.
And it was like, well, I've landed on my head. I'm a bit mm-hmm. sort of out of it here. The count's ticking over. There was a great moment. Becky lifts Nia because she doesn't want to win by count out. She's a fighter. She mm-hmm. wants to get the clean pin or whatever. Realizes she's not going to be able to do it. So she's like, sod it. I'll get in the ring and do the count out. Counter kind of thing. Because she's just too powerful
mm-hmm.
and just too big for me. The David and Goliath thing.
Yep.
It really sold that. It was really effective.
It was so, so good.
And the crowd were loving it.
The near falls were wild, and it whipped that crowd into a frenzy. It was so good. The crowd were going nuts. And then you get to the finish where they've been building up this punch from Nia, because they showed it in the video package and all that stuff, and Nia was, you know, pretending to do punches and stuff like that. It was a moment right at the start of the match where Becky punched Nia in the face, and Nia was like, okay, and then move on. So they were really, really building up this punch. Becky jumped off the second rope. Nia, bang, catches her with an uppercut with that one punch. And Becky sold it like she'd been shot.
Yeah.
Such a good sell of it. Drops to the floor. Nia gets up, annihilator, and wins clean.
Yeah.
It's such a perfect finish. And the fact that the crowd were whipped up into this frenzy meant that afterwards they were just booing the hell out of Nia in her hometown. They were just booing the hell out of her. It was so, so good. And then they had Becky bleeding from like the chin where she'd been hit. It was so perfect. It's such a great match. Mm. And I did not expect it out of these two at all. So good.
Yeah, I think... all of us pretty much believed. Again, this goes back to the you never really know how it's going to go down. If you do it right, it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
We all thought Becky was going to get the win here.
Yeah.
And they were going to have to find a way to reheat Nia, I guess, to take on Ripley. But it was hiding in plain sight there the whole way. They've built up this punch. And, you know, if Nia is going to become this unstoppable force who's going to take on Rhea Ripley, and it's going to make Rhea Ripley look powerful, or maybe not, as the case may be, it really got her over, and it really got specifically that punch over. And they did a fake blood spot as well with it, which could have looked hokey as anything,
mm-hmm.
but it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
It was really effective. Becky going down like that, mm-hmm. the almost whip crack of the thigh slap or whatever that mm-hmm. makes the sound. It was a really great finish. It got the finish over as this star destroyer, and it made Nia look great, and
mm-hmm.
and it got her heat.
Good
proper heat.
Yeah.
So yeah,
great. What wasn't so great was the next segment
where
Cody Rhodes came out after a recap of the Shinsuke Night Before Christmas thing. Cody Rhodes came out in his gear and he was like, Shinsuke, I want to end this chapter of my story tonight. So stop fanning about. Come on out here and we'll finish this off. And Shinsuke was like, nah, next week. And that was it.
Yeah, this was trash.
Yeah, this was not good.
No, it was so annoying as well. I know they have to book something for next week ahead of time and give mm-hmm. something Cody something to do rather than just talk about the Rumble of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think you're making me more excited for this rematch with this segment than I would have been if he just gave me the match this week.
Absolutely.
So it was deeply
It didn't build to anything.
And it was the only way, the only place Cody was on the whole show. And for me, that's egregious.
Yes. We then had, after that, because there's nothing else to say about that segment, we then had Kofi Kingston and Jey Uso teaming with Imperium, which ended prematurely, unfortunately, after Giovanni Vinci got injured. Great, good call, the right call. I think it was anticlimactic, it was unfortunate, but not much you can do about that one. Looked like he bashed his head off the ring when he came down from a big bump. It looked like he kind of whipped his head off the mat or whatever.
The drop kick looked like it really sort of got him there. Yeah. And then he hits down.
And then he hits the back of his head.
The ref immediately went over.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Vinci's tweeted to say that fine. Yep, that one. Say that he's fine. So fingers crossed he's not out for too long and he can come back soon. Was what it was. Unfortunate.
Do you know the Italian for like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Cossi cossi.
That's great.
There you go.
We then got a video of WWE's holiday tour, and then we went to Miz TV, which was advertised as with the Judgment Day. But it wasn't Judgment Day, it was R-Truth, who's representing Judgment Day. And then he came out and he said he's doing PR work and he's doing admin work for Judgment Day because nobody likes them. So he's trying to make them more likable.
I'm here doing PR work. Mm-hmm. Killed me. Yeah. I really thought it was very funny.
Yeah. And then JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio came out to interrupt. And they said, you're not even in Judgment Day. Why are you here? Judgment Day would never be on Miz TV, blah, blah, blah. Dom got an insane amount of heat in his hometown. I see a trend here.
What, heels getting heat in their hometown?
Yeah.
At least they're heels.
I love it. Yeah. They get booed an insane amount trying to cut off Miz and all that. This segment goes for a while, but a tag match gets made of a reunited awesome truth versus JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio because Triple H cares about 2011 nostalgia. So... well done, you guys.
Have you ever been at a comedy night and they have like a really killer joke and the energy is really great?
Yeah.
And then it just sort of carries on.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up jokes aren't that funny and they're sort of repeating the line and it's you just sort of checking your watch. That's a WWE promo segment for me. I got there a lot quicker than they did. And I understand that with what happened to Vinci, they're probably spreading a lot of the things get more time. You know, I'd rather the time had gone on some of the matches.
Yes.
But this was just, I just was like, come on. And then when we do get, I will say I do like the Judgment Day having a B team.
Mm-hmm.
And this being like a mid-card story within the Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. That was quite fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then when we get the match, I was quite entertained by the match, actually.
Like, I mean, I think, again, similar to how you found the promo, I found the match in that there were some jokes that were very good. R-Truth standing in the neutral corner at the start when you have Miz in one corner, Judgment Day in the other, and he's in the middle because he doesn't know what team he's on. That's a funny joke.
You don't see a lot of tag ropes comedy these days. Yeah. But, you know.
And you know what? That's funny. That's a good joke.
Yeah.
However, that was the same joke through the whole match where Truth still didn't know what team he's on. And I think for me, the best part of Truth's character is that he makes a stupid mistake and someone corrects him and he goes, oh yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
And then he learns and he goes, oh yeah, that was a silly mistake. For Miz to go, you're on my team, and he goes, ah, but am I? It's like, yes. The joke doesn't land anymore because you've already done that joke once.
Tell you what joke did land. I'm sorry, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Big pop.
Yeah.
Until Michael Cole explained the joke to me a little bit later, really got on my nerves.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea within it that Truth is going to go give him a big left, a big right hand or whatever, and he says the I'm sorry, I love you moment, and it was very, very funny.
It was funny.
Biggest head in the game takes the punch instead.
Mm-hmm. He does. Babyface has got the win. Awesome Truth got the win. The party girls are partying and they set up a women's tag match with Piper Niven and Chelsea Green.
Well, it is New Year. I love Piper Niven like this, by the way.
Mm.
Like I think that she gets to show off. She's got a brilliant personality. She's a really fantastic presence and she gets to show off a lot more than she's just a big Scottish meanie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this kind of segment for them trying something different. It was clunky and don't pull too hard at the fourth wall thread. Because there was a lot of mess going on. It was very NXT.
Oh, yeah.
But crack on.
Yeah.
Gave us something.
Yeah.
And they sure do love to party.
So I've heard. And seen now. We then got Rhea Ripley.
Mitchell in the back doing coke somewhere.
We then had Rhea Ripley versus Ivy Nile for the Women's World title. Got a quick video package for Rhea before this match kicked off. I thought this match was also pretty solid. Ivy Nile got some nice offense in on this match, some nice, really nice hope spots. I think Rhea sold her ass off as well. There's like a DDT spot where she just like flipped herself around. It was awesome.
Great, yeah.
Really well worked match. But Rhea kind of took like the Gunther formula of I'm going to win with three finishes in a row in sequence, so you cannot kick out. Where she, Ivanhoe dived off for a crossbody and Rhea just headbutted her out of midair, then did a knee to the face, then did the riptide and was like, oh yeah, you're dead now. You're finished. Really good match.
Wade Barrett kind of pointed out the slight issue that the match had going in, which was Ivy Nile so far has been in a battle royal and a multi-woman tag match. That's it.
Yeah.
So like, first of all, how have you got this main event, this world title shot? Second of all, why should we as the crowd be invested in you? So they had an uphill struggle. And I think they did a pretty good job. I think Rhea sold it really well. I think Ivy, it was a great showing for her. She got more over than she was when she went in. Rhea looks like a megastar, as always. So it was effective. Did the job.
And I think there's tons of room for if Ivy, excuse me, wants to challenge in the future. Tons of room for her to get ton more offense in next time.
Totally.
Excuse me. We then had a women's tag match of Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark versus Tegan Nox and Natalya. This was after the former WWE champion segment that we've already spoken about. And this match was not much. Didn't get much time. Didn't get a lot of offense or anything into it. It was just kind of a match. And Baszler and Stark won. They did a tag team finish of Baszler hitting the German suplex straight into the Z360. And they pinned Tegan Nox. Candice, LeRae, and Indy Hartwell were watching on backstage, trying to flesh out that women's tag division, which is nice. Just take some of the time from the previous segment and put it in this match, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I also think it was in a pretty difficult spot because we were all a bit overexcited and talking about what had happened moments ago. So the actual focus on the match itself was limited.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm with you. I think the team looks good together. I like both Zoe Sarks and Shayna Baszler, so I like them together. I don't have a lot to say about it because I was too busy thinking about WrestleMania.
That's fair.
Which
that's
is unfortunate. Valid. It's not their fault.
Yeah. And then we had the main event. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight title. I really liked the video package they did before this because it told you all the bits of the story that you needed for this match specifically. Of not just Seth and Drew's history, but also that Drew keeps messing himself over. And the line from Seth of like, the only person that's stopping Drew McIntyre being a world champion is Drew McIntyre getting in his own head and stuff like that. This match was great because it's Seth and it's Drew. How could it not be? These two are fantastic. And it great near falls, great action. I love the counters on counters where Seth hit his superplex and then Drew hits the Falcon Arrow from it just to try and mess with Seth. That was great. Love that. Love tweaks on normal offense from people. I love seeing that stuff. But we get towards the finish of this match, because we don't have much time left on this show, where Damian Priest tries to come out and cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase during the match. Looks like he's going to go. He comes out with Dominic, sends Dominic around the ring. So the referee starts looking at Dom and he cracks Rollins with the briefcase. I was like, that's a very nice spot. I like that. He goes to cash it in. Drew comes from the outside, claymores Damian Priest, does a German suplex on the outside to Dominic Mysterio, gets back in the ring, claymores Seth Rollins. And you go, oh dear,
he's done a
briefcase shot and a claymore. This is it. Grabs his legs and he pulls him too far so that Seth's foot is folding in over itself and his feet are touching the ropes. So the referee goes 1, 2 and then spots the leg on the rope and says, nope, that's a 2 count. Rope break. Drew McIntyre stopped Drew McIntyre becoming world champion again. It's a bit of a weird finish, because Seth then came back, hit the stomp, and won. It's a bit of a weird finish, because I think it makes Drew look like slightly stupid, because it was his own error, and he's very experienced, and maybe shouldn't be making errors like that. But me and you were talking about this in the office earlier, and you were saying, yeah, but these things happen. Yeah. In, like, professional sports, like, people make mistakes. It's just a thing that happens. Do they look dumb? Yeah, but it happens. That's what it is. And this is going to further the story of Drew getting in his own head and having more of a meltdown and becoming more of a heel, because that's what it is. He cannot reason with the fact that he's the one that's stopping him.
Yeah.
It has to be somebody else's fault. And this one, it was his own fault. It is going to further that story. I really liked this. This was great.
It was. I think when I saw the time left on the show, I was like, great, we're getting a healthy amount of time, even with commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be fun, and it was exactly what I wanted it to be. That moment with the cash in was a cheap pop.
Of course, it was. Yeah.
But the moment where Priest is trying to pass over the briefcase, and it's almost like you almost want it to be filmed like Vertigo, like a Vertigo shot of like he's coming right at you, and then suddenly, mm-hmm. bang, that's out, you're out of the way. I loved it. Which, by the way, is what leads into Priest not then cashing in after the match, because first of all, Rollins has hightailed it out of there. Second of all, there's a very angry Scotsman in the ring. And third of all, he's just taken a claymore to the head, so he's not at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of made sense to me why Priest wouldn't then cash in. It's not that prime opportunity.
Yeah.
There is a time limit on these, I'm going to cash in, I'm not cashing in moments. Mm-hmm. We saw it a lot with Theory, but you know, that's kind of beside the point. Because the end to the match itself was really effective. It was, they were let down a little bit by the camera shot that revealed the tell of Seth making sure his foot was going to be on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these things happen. It is a thing that happens in professional sport. Like, the famous one is Steven Gerrard slipping in the Liverpool game, which, you know, handed the title away from Liverpool. It happens. It wasn't necessarily his fault,
mm-hmm.
but it is a silly mistake that he should have not overdone it and slipped and things like that. In this case, he shouldn't have over rotated and put Seth's foot on the thing. And it's a stupid mistake. And it was a stupid mistake, like the stupid mistake he made at Crown Jewel of giving him more time.
Mm-hmm.
That is a stupid. Be clinical and finish him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've claymored the heck out of you, drag you over and put my whole body on you. You know better than this, Drew McIntyre, and you know better than this.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be making that mistake. Then for him to get so angry and, you know, rip the table apart, how many pedigrees on an announce table have we seen? So I popped for that. And then it was, pedigree on the announce table, so it's even harder. The announce table didn't give whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by a stomp. That is going to take Drew McIntyre out. I don't think Drew McIntyre looks weak as a result of this. I just think he looks like someone who can't keep his emotion in check. And this is the spiral that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
Really effective character work. Really great match.
Yep.
Had a great time.
Yep.
Great way to end the show.
I think this show was a mixed bag in that some of the wrestling was great.
Mm-hmm.
The main event was great. The opener was great. I really liked the Ripley-Ivan Isle match. The talking segments were... Cody won. Rock one was really long, but built some good intrigue, but... And the Awesome Truth one was a bit long, but fine overall. So I gave this a 3 out of 5 show.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think taking a look at it from a bigger picture perspective, first show of the year, setting us up for the rest of the year, I think it was an effective show.
Yeah, it was.
Did the job. It was a good show.
Absolutely. I need to double check if we have shout outs.
Whoa.
We don't yet, but we'll get them soon. Anyway, let's get into then the last bit of the show, which is us doing Ultra Chats again.
Because people have lots to say.
People have lots to say because The Rock came back on this show, obviously. Last chance to get those in at WrestleTalk.com/support. We're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Ben Vlarik has a few things to say. Hot take. Rock versus Roman is going to be boring. Roman will do rest holds and talk trash first 15 minutes. Rock is 50 plus and hasn't wrestled in 10 plus years. Was never a great worker anyway. That's a hot take. Sure, hype, but Roman isn't Hogan levels of over. Far from it. Match is going to suck. Worse, Rock isn't winning, right? He won't be champ. So Roman would still be champion again. We'll have to sit through another year of 2 to 3 title defenses in the hope that at Mania 41, we finally have a new champion. Good God, just retire the belt. For business, big money. But for fans, Rock will go back to Hollywood and Roman will still be champ and barely show up. It'll be a mediocre match with no consequences. I get why, because money, but man, I really don't want to see it. The story should have finished. If Cody had won, this would be so much better. Reigns losing it, no longer fit to be chief. Elders send in Rock. Be more unpredictable. Nobody buys Rock winning the title. Why would you want that anyway? He shows up even less than Reigns. WWE botched it at WrestleMania 39.
That's pretty much kind of as we've been saying through the show. I think the something that came to my mind while we were reading that was that in terms of the sort of, for you said it was business, big money, but for fans, what do we get? And I think there comes a point, you have goodwill, especially when you have a good year for the first time in a long time, you have goodwill from the fans. There comes a point where we move away. Mm-hmm. There are only so many times you can press the reset button and make a big announcement and say, we didn't do a great job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a draft. Like, you do have a limit. And so that then does start affecting the big business that you can do. Manchester United, crap on the football field at the moment. if that carries on for too long, the commercial is going to go down as well. Mm-hmm. So you need the football to be as good. You need the story and the narrative to be as good in WWE so that the big money can get going. You need in this TV rights renewal year, you need to know that we're going to still be there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to make a commitment and follow it through. So that's why at this point, it would be too far.
Yep, agreed. And also, that is what WWE would do, is they'd wait until Mania 41. They shouldn't, because even if they do, Rock versus Roman at Mania, and Roman wins, and he's still the champion post-Mania, don't wait for another year. Have him drop it at another show.
Yeah.
Because good God, not everything has to be about Mania. Have him drop it at SummerSlam. Have him drop it at Backlash in France. Mm. Or Bash in Berlin. I don't care.
Corbin.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Blake Whitehouse said, New Day have been together for 10 years this year, so I can confidently say their theme kind of sucks. It's one of those themes that is fun with the New Day in an arena, but it's boring when listening on Spotify. I miss Kofi's Jamaican music so much.
I don't listen to songs on to themes on Spotify.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Every now and again, around WrestleMania time, I will give it a little go. Mm-hmm. And Cult of Personality, but that's because
that, that was apparently one of the four genres I listened to on my Spotify Wrapped.
Really?
Was wrestling. I think that's wrong. I listen to a lot more genres than four.
Most of the time we listen to Persona 5, though, so it's just that one mm-hmm. album.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other things, so that kind of scans.
Yeah.
We did it at I think the reason I don't is because we did it at a board games night we were having the other day, and it very much is one verse on loop for about 3 minutes, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm bored now.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep. Kid Cutty said, man, who pissed in Pete's cornflakes this morning? Nobody. Day one Raw felt like how a Mania after Raw should feel. Good to great matches. Yeah. A big return, yes, and I'm loving the character work each week. In this cynical world, it's so hard being a babyface when everyone and their grandma just wants to be a badass tweener because it's the easy thing to be. But shout out to the ref who stopped Giovanni's match. Shout out to the women for being awesome, and shout out to Triple H. This regime is not the old one. We need to remember that. I have no point said that this is as bad as it used to be.
No.
Because it's not.
Quite the opposite.
This was a good show. I think there's some bits that didn't land and some bits that were great.
Mm.
So there you go. Joey Jojo Shabadoo.
Nice.
Said, hello guys, long time viewer, first time Ultra Chatter.
Hey.
I feel like the Damien is about to cash in shtick has gotten old very quickly to the point that he won't seem credible when he cashes in, and especially if he wins the title. Love the channel. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think I would hold off for the rest of the season. He's got until July.
Mm-hmm. They haven't done that story yet. I will say this on every show at every opportunity. They haven't done that story yet of someone running out of time. Mm. They've never done that story. Tell the story. I want to see it.
Especially because all of Judgment Day have been saying, not now, not now, now, not now, not now. He's like, yeah. Stop. I'm trying to trust my instincts. There's something to be done with it. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Andy has been a member for 9 months in a row, who said, WWE seemed to be consensus promotion of 2023. Do you agree? They had the best stories and characters. However, Cody losing his spot is a spit in the face. I don't know if Cody's lost his spot
yet. I don't
yet,
think he has.
So let's not jump the gun on that one. But I do think WWE was a promotion of 2023 for me. In our main level promotion world, where like New Japan didn't have the best year, AEW didn't have a good year, WWE had a very good year. Those are really the contenders. Because then you talk about like Stardom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't watch enough of it to
wheelhouse.
It's not my forte.
Well, I mean, look, we're a Western wrestling podcast.
But even TNA, I don't watch enough of it to make enough of a comment on it.
Yeah, that's fair. In terms of major promotions, it absolutely, there's no argument against it, I think, you know. But hey, we're in a new year now.
We are.
You got to keep it up.
Yep. Streamlabs has lost this username, unfortunately. Please let the moderators know who you are and we can shout you out later. Who said, this is what wrestling is missing. Everyone wants to be serious all the time and no one wants to take the
piss
anymore.
Say piss.
Jinder coming out was the ultimate form of taking the piss, in which I guffawed for a good 2 minutes. It dragged too long, but it TTP
took the piss.
Yeah, sure, why not. I agree, it just went way too long.
Yeah.
The joke is him coming out. That's the joke.
Mm.
Everything else.
It was a great joke.
It was a very funny joke. Really on board with it. The rest of it was not the joke and was long and boring.
It's just pacing. Pacing is important. If you go back and watch any of Attitude Era Raw, the pacing of it is very snap, snap, snap.
Eclectic, right?
So,
eclectic? Yeah. Is that the word I'm looking for?
No.
Electric, energetic.
Eclectic is
erratic?
Like...
Maybe erratic.
Hmm. We'll workshop it.
Yeah. Lobby said, Cody loses to Nakamura next week.
Frenetic.
Frenetic.
There we go.
Cody loses Nakamura next week. Nakamura costs him the Rumble. This brings him to his lowest point. He then has to win Elimination Chamber. The Chamber match culminates with Cody pinning Nakamura for the win. This gives Cody adversity and makes Nakamura look strong.
I think that's a bit too round the gardens.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I don't think Cody should... Well, I said Cody shouldn't lose that much. It's only losing one match, really.
Because he got the Rumble as well. I think you could lose a Rumble and still be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know what you're sort of getting at here, which is Nakamura need the win, man. Because otherwise he's just an ineffective guy who says promos backstage, which was great for a minute.
It's the Bray Wyatt effect.
Yeah.
He talks a lot and then does nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tifa Lockhart said, I jumped from my seat when Drew came so close to winning. Drew losing is bad news for me because it keeps pushing him further and further away from re-signing with WWE. By the way, nice reference on that Steven Gerrard about Liverpool versus Chelsea. That hurts.
Doesn't hurt me. Trust. Yeah. That was brilliant. This was something that I don't like the whole contract and signing with WWE and signing with whoever thing. It's interesting. It's something that we do need to be aware of. But the idea that they're only doing this to make him re-sign, it's like, well, maybe. But also, if Drew's only re-signing because he wants to get the belt, if Punk's only signing because he's been promised a WrestleMania main event, that's not the best business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you have to set a precedence. And ultimately, it is what's best for business. And, you know, I think if I'm Drew McIntyre and I see that I've got a great main event story with some really interesting character work that's incredibly satisfying to work on, and I say, no, I don't want to take that because you didn't give me the world championship, I don't know if that's the way his brain works. If he wants to go on to a new creative challenge elsewhere, crack on, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah. The Charismatic Enigma said, don't hate me, but hear me out. Royal Rumble, CM Punk wins, Cody versus Roman, and finishes the story at Elimination Chamber, then Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania for Tribal Chief, head of the table, status, Rock wins. I wouldn't have Rock win, personally.
I certainly wouldn't have Rock win.
Yeah.
But I would rather believe that Rock could win.
Yes, agreed. Matt said, did you guys watch Raw Talk? They're setting up a tag title match with Judgment Day versus DIY. Champa versus Finn was announced for next week.
Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
That'll work.
Not Actually Tesco has been a member for 11 months in a row, who said, good afternoon and happy new year all. Hope everybody's doing well. What is your biggest dream to see on telly this year? E.g. LA Knight versus Cody.
I keep talking about it, but I would love to see Cody Rhodes versus Sami Zayn.
Mm.
I would love for Cody Rhodes to get the belt and have Sami Zayn come along and be like, you said you thought I could do it.
Yeah.
Can I have a go?
Yeah. Do you still believe that I can do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really good. I'm in agreement with you. Rob Burwell has been a member for 28 months in a row. That's such a long time. Who said, Rumble, Cody 1, Punk 2, Gunther 30. The mini match is a triple threat of those three, and Punk eliminates both at the same time. Cody wins at Elimination Chamber to win at WrestleMania. I don't hate it.
I am coming round to Punk winning Rumble as my first choice.
Yeah.
Because it's the best way to get away from... To give Seth a challenge that doesn't feel secondary.
Yeah.
It's a statement. I won this, and your belt is the one I want. That belt matters.
I would also say that if Cody wins the Rumble twice in a row, there is a chance that people could start to turn on him to be like, oh, Cody again.
Mm. I mean, they didn't with Austin.
They didn't.
But then Austin won the belt.
And I think there's a chance that people could. I'm not saying it's going to happen, and it depends how they package it, and it depends what else happens, and blah, blah, blah. But I think there is a line where Cody becomes Superman too much.
I know what you're saying.
So I wouldn't be opposed to Punk winning the Rumble, Cody wins at Chamber to get his shot at Roman at Mania. And then you have Rock versus Roman. This is why Rock versus Roman at Chamber works so much better, because you have Rock versus Roman at Elimination Chamber and Cody winning his shot against Roman on the same show.
Mm.
So then you have, this is what the WrestleMania main event is coming out of Chamber.
Yeah.
And it's set, Cody versus Roman, here we go.
Yeah.
That, I think, works perfectly.
Nice. It sounds good.
It does. Amy said, I see Elimination Chamber being an avenue to guide the Rock Roman Cody story, but I want Rhea versus Becky at Elimination Chamber. That's a Mania main event match that won't main event Mania. So give me it in Rhea's home country.
That's the part there. It won't main event Mania because there are so many options to main event WrestleMania, and I don't think Rhea Becky is the best story should main event WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And they are two of the best workers today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd pull out a story more compelling than a Roman Reigns or a Punk one this time. So give them the moment of all moments in front of that crowd at Elimination Chamber.
Ten Ruzza said, thoughts on what Triple H's announcement on Thursday is. SRS said they haven't announced where SummerSlam is yet. excuse me, which is weird, so might announce a big four, a big place for Cody to win it, if not Mania. This was the first row I watched in ages. Won't rush back. That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it's they have hyped it as a big announcement, and it's a pretty stacked roster for the preview special on Peacock. Mm. But so I wouldn't, maybe 41, maybe. Maybe SummerSlam.
Yeah,
you know.
I think there were reports that SummerSlam could be in Cleveland, I believe, yeah, was the latest place that people were talking about. So maybe we'll see it there. A Real Mark said, I'm a huge fan of the Restore podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. You guys have inspired me to start my own this year. What if Roman loses the title inside the Elimination Chamber? Everyone could hit their finishers, so he'd be protected. Cody could face the winner at Mania.
Give it to me. I just think it's a really interesting idea of, again, the narrative of the bloodline and all coming home to roost, and they all, like, mm-hmm, all of your ghosts come and get you,
yeah,
at once, kind of thing. All of your wrongs are undone. And hey, there's stories within them. There's Drew being pissed at Drew gets his hands on Jay, takes Jay out, maybe. Like, there's a lot of different things you can do. Roman can take advantage of pins. He doesn't even have to hit a spear on anyone. And he can still be that, like, cowardly heel who makes, mm-hmm, it all the way through to the end. And then you have another big match. We have to get out of our boxed in brains. There's potentials and opportunities and things you can do here that could be really effective.
I'm just trying to think, if they do, like, Haluva kick in the corner to Roman, into a stunner from Kevin Owens, into a super kick from Jay, into a crossroads from Cody, into a claymore from Drew. Like,
oh, and he's the first out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If he's the first one out,
imagine the crowd.
That'd be so cool.
And I'm just saying, it's kind of a good idea. Because then he's the first out. Then you got all these other stories. Sammy's like, I came so close to getting you, me, a Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or maybe Jay's not in the match and Cody gives the opportunity to Jay, and you get Cody, Jay at Mania. Like, there's so many opportunities that you could do. Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Yeah. God, fun. The wise man Cameron said, hey guys, happy new year. My joke answer to all of this would be to say sod it and have all of the I've got issues with Roman committee and Armageddon 2000 it at WrestleMania. But the true answer to all of this is, drum roll, AG1 style tournament. we need more C2.
The E3.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Dustin Huffman said, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but Dan, do you remember what I said a few weeks ago that Luke laughed at? I'm still saying Rock distracts Roman at the Rumble. Randy beats Roman, and at WrestleMania, it's going to be Rock versus Roman and Cody versus Randy.
I mean, like, Cody and Randy is not a bad shout.
Yes.
Like, it's talk about finishing stories and, mm-hmm, legacy and all the rest.
Absolutely, yeah. The Buck Bumble said, hello and happy new year. To move aside from the frantic frenzy that is predicting the closing of Mania 40, I've got a Philly-based question. Who is your pick for the main Hall of Fame entry?
Batista's due.
Yeah.
Don't know. I the Hall of Fame has such a little impact on me. At this,
yeah,
stage.
I just don't care.
I used
about
to
it.
Care.
Yeah. And now I just don't.
Yeah.
But I'd say Batista.
Yeah.
That'd be my say.
I really think they need to commit to making an actual one that you can go visit.
Mm, yes.
It sounds like a great, you know, do it near the performance center.
Mm, that'd be great.
Your ticket to the Hall of Fame, you also get a ticket to NXT. I don't know. Something like they need to commit to make it matter.
Yeah. Agreed. Sean said, happy new year.
Yay.
Keep up the good work for 2024.
Thank you, Sean.
We'll try our best. We also have a new member in Lobi, Warsaw. And I believe that is it.
We've done it.
My God, that's the show. Thank you guys so much for chatting with us today about The Rock and your thoughts about Roman Reigns and WrestleMania. There's so much to talk about. We didn't even get to everything here. We should do like a 2-hour show and it would just be that. But yes, thank you guys so much for checking out the show. We're going to be back on Thursday. It's going to be the Dynamite review with me and Ollie, because Luke is off this week. So I'll be back again on Thursday talking about Dynamite. Then we'll be back on Saturday with me again, because Tempest is in Canada.
You pulled this straw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be me and Sat on Saturday again. Lots of podcasts with me this week. Hope you like me. If not, subscribe, and then next week I'll be gone again. But thank you guys so much for watching. I've been joined by Dan Layton. I've been Pete Quinnell, and we'll see you guys soon. Subscribe, like, goodbye. Cody vs. Roman at WrestleMania.
Yeah, let's do it.
Goodbye.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.